WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The saga over Wisconsin's elections administrator will go on for at least a little longer. A state Senate committee held a hearing on a second term for Megan Wolf yesterday. The committee's chairman says the full Senate could vote as soon as mid-September or maybe never. Republican Dan Knodel says not every resolution that has a hearing gets a vote in committee. Wolf's critics spent much of yesterday's hearing repeating false claims the 2020 presidential election was stolen from Donald Trump. Wolf's supporters say she's one of the best election officials in the country. One way or another, Wolf's case might lead to changes for all Wisconsin state government appointees. Terry Bell explains.
Wolf's case shares similarities to the case of Fred Prehn, who stayed on the Natural Resources Board after his term expired because the Senate hadn't confirmed his replacement. Ann Jacobs is a Democrat on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. She says, technically, Wolf hasn't been renominated.
You gotta have a vacancy before you can appoint someone. That is how it is written.
Republican Senator Dan Knodel chaired the meeting. He said he's only concerned that the Senate sent Wolf's renomination to his committee.
I will not abdicate my authority or the Senate's authority in this process.
Jacobs urged lawmakers to change the law to make it more clear when appointed terms end. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Legislative Republicans will look to take up a new tax cut proposal after Labor Day. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss unveiled the possible tax cut in Oak Creek yesterday. Voss said he heard Governor Evers and is hoping to pass a tax cut the parties can agree on. The strike at the Line and Kugel's brewery in Chippewa Falls is over. Nate Wegehout has more.
Workers at the brewery had been on strike since July 10th. They called for higher wages and a new contract with Line and Kugel's parent company, Molson Coors. Teamsters confirmed that a contract had been signed, but have not yet provided any details. A spokesperson for Molson Coors told WQOW in Eau Claire that they were pleased with the new three-year contract. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
One of Wisconsin's two competitive congressional districts will not have two familiar faces running for the seat. On Tuesday, State Senator Brad Paff announced he will not seek the Democratic nomination for Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district. The seat represents much of western Wisconsin in Congress. Paff lost a bid in 2022 to Derek Van Orden to represent the seat. He announced he will seek re-election to the state Senate where he currently serves. Deb McGrath, who finished 3rd in last year's Democratic primary, says she will not enter the race as well, citing personal reasons. To date, Rebecca Cook, who came in 2nd in last year's primary, is the only Democratic candidate in the district to announce a 2024 bid. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin could soon have a new official state butterfly, a bill proposed by Wisconsin Representative Paul Tittle and Senator Rachel Cabral-Guevara would make the monarch butterfly the official Wisconsin state butterfly. They say the bill would acknowledge the monarch butterfly's importance to the state's agricultural economy, the state itself, and the country as a whole. Representative Tittle and Senator Cabral-Guevara are currently seeking co-sponsors for the bill. The uncertain future of funding for Wisconsin's Office of School Safety has left many worried that a 24/7 anonymous tip line will cease to exist in 2024. The tip line has been used for things as small as students vaping in schools or as large as harassment, bullying, and self-harm concerns. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says they're looking for state investment to keep the Office of School Safety running, but legislators don't seem to want to make that investment. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers fall to the Cubs. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Cubs last night by a final score of 1-0. That snapped a 9-game winning streak for Milwaukee. Chicago's Justin Steele struck out 8 batters over 6 innings. The Brewers' Corbin Burns also pitched well and was asked how much was the wind a factor last night at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, everyone's got to deal with it the same way, so you just got to go out and stick to what you do best, and whatever happens that night happens. And we probably had 3 or 4 balls that were caught on the track right at the wall that probably any normal day would have been homers. And that's a different baseball game, but yeah, I think we had plenty of opportunities to with the guys on base to get some big knocks and just didn't come through, and really they didn't either.
Was it impossible to hit a home run? Willie Adames.
I don't know. But it was tough. It was a tough day. You know, everybody that have played here, they know when the wind is blowing in, it's almost impossible to hit a homer.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
We know that the wind affects the game in this ballpark as much as any park in baseball. So, you know, when you hit the ball in the air, you're not going to be rewarded in this park.
The series wraps up today. 1:20 first pitch, Brandon Woodruff against the Cubs' Kyle Hendricks. NBA, the Bucks have signed guard Ty Washington Jr. He played in 31 games for the Rockets last season. Washington says the Bucks showed him interest over the summer.
The coaches really emphasized the fact that they really want and need me there. And just seeing the way they play, I know if I went there, I'd be able to do what I do.
NFL, the Packers made their initial roster decisions, getting down to 53 players. One of those who made the team was former Houston Texans safety Jonathan Owens.
Just ability to do my job, man, and, you know, do it consistently. That's the thing I would say, you know, because that's all the NFL is, you know, who can do it time and time again, you know. So I've made a few plays in camp, you know what I mean, but I just kind of, you know, my thing is I take pride in doing my job, you know what I mean, so and making the plays that are presented to me. So
with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, good morning. Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Wednesday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. Come on in, grab a seat, get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, relax, sit back and enjoy some news, some music. And I'm your host, Stu Daniels. You can hear this show Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. And there's a lot going on in the news today. We're going to try to cover as much as we can in the next 2 hours. First of all, let me give you some weather information. Most areas in western Wisconsin today, sunshine, highs in the mid-70s. La Crosse, sunshine, high around 76. Eau Claire, sunshine, high around 74. In Hayward, sunshine, high around 73. Amory, sunshine and 74, and Richland Center, mostly sunny with a high around 76 degrees. And in sports, I think it was my producer, Aaron, that first came up with the phrase, all good things must come to an end. Well, you probably know what happened to the Brewers last. You want to say something, Aaron? Was that you that came up with that phrase?
If I did, I wasn't aware of it.
Well, I've heard that a lot, man. So if you did come up with that, good one, man. That was a good one. You probably know what happened to the Brewers last night, right? After winning 9 in a row, the Brewers lost to the Cubs last night, 1-0. That puts Milwaukee now 4 games ahead of Chicago in the National League Central. And the Brewers and the Cubs wrap up their 3-game series this afternoon at Wrigley Field. So what's in the news today? Well, let me give you some headlines. Some Republican lawmakers in Madison are still trying to push out Wisconsin's top election official, despite the fact that we're trying to get ready for a big presidential election. Also, UW-Madison is introducing a new program to train more pharmacists to help meet the healthcare needs of Wisconsin. And down in Florida, Hurricane Idalia made landfall just about an hour ago. And it's kicking up some pretty big waves and trees down. I don't know how bad it's going to get. They said it could get worse, even though it already made landfall. And the reason is because they have these or this thing called a king tide coming in. Give you a little bit of information about that. Also,
an update in the Trump indictment news. Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis now is asking to fast track all 19 of the RICO defendants in Trump's Georgia trial. So we've got 10 minutes after 8 o'clock now. And let me give you this story about what's going on in Wisconsin with our top elections official. And this is from an outside perspective. This is from the New York Times. And Wisconsin making national news, evidently, because of what Republicans want to do, at least Republican lawmakers. The headline in the New York Times about Wisconsin says Republicans target Wisconsin's election chief for removal, fueled by falsehoods. Surprised? I'm not. The subheadline says Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator since 2018, has been demonized by former President Donald Trump's allies in the battleground state. And this piece was posted late yesterday, last night, by Neil Vigdor. It says Republicans in Wisconsin pushing to oust the state's nonpartisan head of elections clashed on Tuesday, yesterday, with voting rights advocates and some local clerks during a rancorous public hearing in Madison, sowing further distrust about voting integrity. With their new supermajority in the state Senate, Republicans fought over the reappointment of Megan Wolf as the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator. The agency's head since 2018, Ms. Wolf has become a steady target of right-wing attacks, fueled by former President Donald Trump's grievances about his defeat in the battleground state in 2020. Many of them hinge on his falsehoods about election fraud and the use of electronic voting machines and ballot drop boxes. Ms. Wolf did not attend the hearing, where a stream of critics told a Senate Election Oversight Committee that she should be ousted. Among them was Michael Gableman, conservative former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, whom Republicans tasked with leading a 14-month investigation into the 2020 election results in the state. The review, which cost taxpayers, that's right, cost you and I $1.1 million, found no evidence of significant fraud. Quote, a majority of people in Wisconsin have doubts about the honesty of elections in this state, he said at the hearing, and that's disgraceful. On Tuesday, Ms. Wolf declined to comment through a spokesman for the Elections Commission, who shared a copy of a letter that she sent to legislators in June that had sought to dispel election misinformation. Quote, I believe it is fair to say that no election in Wisconsin history has been as scrutinized, reviewed, investigated, and reinvestigated as much as the November 2020 general election, her letter said. The outcome of all those 2020 probes produced essentially the same result, the identification of a relatively small number of suggestions for procedural improvements with no findings of wrongdoing or significant fraud, end quote. At the hearing, Ms. Wolf's supporters described her as a model of competency who guided a network of state, county, and local election officials through the pandemic and has done so in an impartial manner. They warned that her removal would result in chaos. And I should mention, if you're just joining us, I'm reading from a New York Times piece about Wisconsin and about the controversy, Republicans trying to oust Megan Wolf. And there is a quote here. It says, considering what happened after the 2020 elections and since, we are in a world of crazy for next year. Obviously referring to the presidential election. That quote is from Lisa Tollefson, the clerk of Rock County in the southern part of the state. Quote, with the actions and accusations that have been made toward election officials, we are certainly seeing the highest turnover in county clerks and municipal clerks in our history, end quote. Dan Knodel, a Republican who is the chairman of the Senate committee, challenged her world of crazy remark. He He said, "Are you predicting something, or you have information that something is on the horizon?" he said. Ms. Tollefson answered that the political climate was only likely to intensify in Wisconsin and pointed to the hard-fought election in April that flipped Wisconsin's Supreme Court from conservative to liberal. Several times during Tuesday's hearing, Democrats argued that the legislature did not have the authority to vote on Ms. Wolf's reappointment, noting that state law requires her renomination to come from the commission. A June vote by the commission on whether to appoint her to another four-year term ended in an impasse, with three Democrats abstaining over concerns that Republicans would use their supermajority in the Senate to remove her. By doing nothing, declining to renominate or take any other action, the commission can effectively keep Ms. Wolf in her current role under state law. Republicans have challenged the statute, and the issue is expected to end up being decided by the courts. Ann Jacobs, a Democratic commissioner, referred to the move by Republican lawmakers to oust Ms. Wolf as a circus. Mr. Knodel bristled at her language and said he was not about to abdicate oversight. Quote, "Whether it's circus-like or not, that's what we'll do," he said. "Thank you for attending the circus." The guy has a sense of humor, evidently. Jay Heck, executive director of Common Cause in Wisconsin, a government watchdog group, said Ms. Wolf's removal would be a major blow to the state, which is likely to once again be a crucial battleground for the presidential race. Quote, "The vast majority of Wisconsin's voters and citizens can and will lose confidence and trust in our elections," he said. So that's interesting to get an outside perspective from the New York Times talking about what's going on in our state with these Republicans trying to oust Megan Wolf, evidently because they didn't like the way that the 2020 election turned out, or maybe to get retribution. We don't even know why, but will our election next year be any better if they kick her out? If you have an opinion on that, feel free to call in. The phone number, excuse me, is 715-388-7155. Again, that's 715-388-7155. I would be interested to hear what you have to say. It's 17 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Got to take a quick break. Stick around. It's a short one. You are tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
To school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bach.
QS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective.
Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 73. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 53. Sunny with a high near 79 on your Thursday. For Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 59. Friday, sunny, breezy, and a high near 87. Winds gust to 30 miles per hour. Currently, 53 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
How sweet it is to be loved by you. How sweet it is to be loved by you. I needed the shelter. Understand my ups and downs. There you were. With sweet love and devotion. Deeply touching my emotion. I want to stop. Thank you, baby. I want to stop. And thank you, baby. Yes, I do.
How sweet it is to be loved.
So fine.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
I close my eyes at night, wondering where would I be without you in my life. Everything I did was just a bore. Everywhere I went, seems I'd been there. Thank you, baby. Oh, yes.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
It's just like sugar sometimes.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can you tell that's David Sanborn on saxophone? And can you tell that's Carly Simon doing the background vocals with James Taylor? Of course you can. And what a great song. And I'm playing that song because it was on this date in 1995 that James Taylor and Carly Simon sang together on stage for the first time in several years. You probably know that they were a couple during the 1970s, but then they split up. And they didn't perform together for many years, but it was on this date, August 30th of 1995, that they got together and played on stage together for the first time since 1979. It was at Martha's Vineyard in front of 10,000 people, and it was a fundraiser raising money for the local agricultural society. James Taylor, still out there putting on some great shows these days if you get the chance. Check him out. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 24 minutes after 8 o'clock now. And we have 58 degrees in La Crosse right now, 53 degrees in Richland Center. Most areas looking for highs in the mid-70s today with sunshine. Should be a really nice summer day. Hey, the next topic I want to get to is this move made by Fonnie Willis yesterday down in Georgia. The Fulton County DA. You know what's going on there? Some of the RICO defendants in Trump's Georgia case are asking for fast-track trials, right? We know that our Wisconsin connection, Kenneth Cheesebro, was the first one to demand a speedy trial. And then there have been at least one or two since then, and more possibly on the way. Well, now, what Fonnie Willis is saying, she wants to fast-track all of them. Let's just get on with it. She's ready to go. This is a story from the Daily Coast. It says, Willis asks to fast-track all 19 RICO defendants in Trump's Georgia trial. This was posted last night at the Daily Coast. It says, on August 14th, Donald Trump and 18 co-defendants were named in a wide-ranging indictment that included racketeering by a grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia. Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis asked for a trial date in March 2024, originally, but last week, one of Trump's co-defendants, attorney Kenneth Cheesebro, obviously from Wisconsin with a name like that, asked for a speedy trial under a Georgia law that allows defendants to request a trial within weeks of indictment. In response to this request, Fulton County Judge Scott McAfee set a trial date for Cheesebro on October 23rd. Soon after this, former Trump attorney Sidney Powell filed a similar request. Attorney John Eastman, who was instrumental in designing the legal argument that led to the January 6th insurrection, is also expected to do the same. Now, Willis is trying her best to keep all the trials together as her basket full of deplorable defendants try to pull her case apart. In other words, or I should say in other cases where Trump has been indicted, his attorneys have tried to argue that the trial shouldn't begin until well after the next election. So far, that argument hasn't been doing well with judges. As soon as Cheesebro requested his speedy trial, Trump's legal team moved to sever Trump's trial from Cheesebro's to avoid being dragged into the early date. Willis immediately filed a motion to have all the cases placed on a fast track to keep them together. But that motion hasn't yet been considered. I'll give you some more of this story after we get back from the break. 8:27 right now. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News special report. A powerful Category 3 Hurricane Idalia slammed into Florida's west coast last hour with winds of up to 125 miles an hour and massive life-threatening storm surge that could get up to 16 feet. Correspondent David Begno is in coastal Crystal River.
It's hitting an area known as the Big Bend region, which is minimally populated with people, and it's mostly animals. A lot of salt marshes in that area where this storm is making landfall.
Power outages, that is, rising quickly. More than 160,000 customers have been knocked offline in Florida, and the system's on the move. Michael Brennan at the National Hurricane Center.
You know, damaging winds extending well inland all the way across portions of North Florida into southern Georgia, into places like Savannah, Hilton Head. We have hurricane warnings in effect with a fast-moving hurricane. It's going to bring those winds really far inland today and tonight.
Idalia now tying the Cedar Key hurricane of 1896 as the strongest ever to hit there. CBS News Special Report.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A lawsuit could end the practice of ballot spoiling in Wisconsin, which allows an absentee voter to request a new ballot on or before Election Day to vote again and fix mistakes in the original. Typically, ballot spoiling occurs if somebody makes a mistake on their ballot or a candidate drops out of the race after the ballot has already been submitted. Lawyers for the plaintiff argue a voter should not be able to cancel a ballot after it's been filed. A proposed bill in Wisconsin could allow zoos to escape state oversight if their operations earn accreditation from the Zoological Association of America. Currently, Wisconsin zoos can earn the exemption accreditation from the American Zoo and Aquarium Association. Animal rights activists have argued the AZA's standards are far superior to the ZAA, and that group has been trying to convince legislatures around the country to exempt its members from government oversight. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Still a getting higher in LA.
cast was a sophomore plan to go to Swarthmore, but you changed your mind one day. Standing on the turnpike, thumb out the hitchhike, take her to New York right away. When Jenny met Cass, he gave a love bomb. All done, it's all, and that was the mud pump. McQueen and McGuire couldn't get no higher, but that's what they were aiming at. And no one's getting fat except Mama Cass. Mugwumps, high jumps, low slumps, big bumps, don't you work as hard as you play. Make up, break up, everything is shake up, yes, it had to be that way. Sebastian and Zon form a spoonful. Shelton again, getting very tuneful. McQueen and McGuire just a catching fire in L.A., you know where that's at. And everybody's getting fat except Mama Cass.
Yes, Mamas and the Papas. On a Wednesday morning, Don Phillips, born on this date in 1935. Papa John passed away in 2001. Man, it's hard to believe he's been gone that long. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. It's 8:35 right now. We've got 56 degrees in Amory, 55 degrees in Eau Claire. If you have an opinion on anything we're discussing this morning, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And just before the break, we were discussing this story from the Daily Coast about what's going on down in Fulton County, Georgia. You know that our cheese brother, Mr. Cheese Bro, asked for a fast-track trial, right? Kenneth Cheese Bro from Wisconsin said he wants to go quickly in that trial down in Georgia. And then since then, Sidney Powell also filed a similar request. And they're saying that attorney John Eastman, who was kind of the mastermind behind that whole fake electors scam, he's expected to do the same. So the DA, Bonnie Willis, wants to keep the whole tribe of co-conspirators together. So, or as it mentions here in the Daily Coast, Willis is trying her best to keep all the trials together as her basketful of deplorable defendants try to pull her case apart. And so what she's done now is said, okay, if you guys want to go fast, we'll do all 19 of them fast, okay? So that's what she said yesterday. We're looking at a story in the Daily Coast with a headline. It says Willis asks to fast track all 19 RICO defendants in Trump's Georgia trial. And we left off here where it says, with Trump's former attorneys lining up to go early and other defendants like former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows appealing to have their cases moved to federal court, there's a strong possibility that Willis's case will fragment into multiple trials. That would make it harder to prosecute the central RICO charge and to use the mandatory sentence associated with it as leverage to persuade some of the defendants to testify against Trump. The indictment against Trump and company includes descriptions of 161 acts made in support of the racketeering operation and 41 additional felony charges resulting from those acts. Telling the story of how it all fits together is far easier if the trial involves a single coherent story showing how the defendants acted in concert rather than being broken into a series of small, apparently unrelated incidents. For Willis, the best scenario would be to keep the whole circus under one tent. With 19 defendants, that has always been unlikely. However, the fewer side shows, the better when it comes to a RICO case. You might try asking Rudy Giuliani, but he's probably sweating hair dye at the moment as he tries to decide whether he dares ask to go to the front of the line. That sentence, by the way, I should mention is in parentheses. There are reasons that Cheese Bro, Powell, and Eastman want to get ahead of the rest of the pack. As the New York Times points out, one factor is simply cash. A trial that begins sooner is likely to come with a smaller price tag in terms of legal bills, travel costs, and life disruption than the same trial dragged out over years. The Washington Post also suggests that Cheese Bro, always a believer that he's the smartest person in any room, simply hoped to catch Willis napping. Only that doesn't seem to be the case, and Willis may find herself starting with a clean shot at a single defendant against whom there is replete evidence. Former federal prosecutor Glenn Kirshner suggests that Trump may be unhappy about the speedy trial requests because they open the door for these first movers to toss the boss under the nearest bus. And here's a quote. He said, "You know what the co-defendants in the first trial will do," Kirshner said. "They will point the finger at the empty chair and say, those are the bad guys, Trump and Judy Giuliani and Meadows. It's not us." So this could break really bad for Donald Trump. And that's what's known as the empty chair defense. And nice as that sounds, throwing Trump under the bus, there's also a possibility that isolating their trial from that of Trump may make it easier for one or all of those going early to later restrict their testimony in Trump's trial under claims of lawyer-client privilege. And all of which makes the motion from Willis to either pull Cheese Bro's trial date back or move everyone else's forward more interesting and more important. It's just one of the ways she's attempting to apply some glue to this rapidly fragmenting pot. For example, despite requesting and being granted an early date, Cheese Bro apparently never formally asked that his case be severed from the rest, leaving it up to everyone else to make a request. In other words, since Cheese Bro didn't ask to go it alone, the court shouldn't provide him a solo court date. And if it does give him a date, then everyone else who doesn't hustle forward with a request to cut themselves free from Cheese Bro should be stuck going at the same time. It is going to be difficult for Willis to force other defendants into court at the date already awarded to Cheese Bro, so the most likely outcome is going to be that the rest line up to request that they be cut loose from Cheese Bro, as Trump has done already. If Eastman and Powell really want to go early, they can always just not sever their cases and tag along with Cheese Bro. But putting all three of them behind a defendant's table together, Ms. Kraken and the January 6th power duo, is going to make a big chunk of the scheme obvious, even if the actions of the other 16 defendants don't get full airtime. Cheese Bro wants to go it alone, so do Powell and Eastman. Having their case heard in a vacuum is probably their best chance. But for any of these three, that chance is still not very good. But if Cheese Bro is sitting at a table by himself ahead of all other cases, a jury might be challenged to convict on the charge that really matters, the RICO indictment that guarantees time in jail. Maybe Cheese Bro is gambling that this is his best chance at evading that conviction. He may even be right. For Willis, all of this has to be terribly frustrating, but probably not expected. Keeping the whole set of 19 defendants together was always unlikely. It may now be impossible. So that's the latest in the Trump indictment in Fulton County, Georgia. It'll be interesting to see what happens next. Will she bring all of the 19 together soon for the early trial date? We'll keep tabs on that. We'll let you know what happens next. It'll be interesting to see, that's for sure. Hey, if you have a comment on that or anything else we're discussing this morning, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And we have a few minutes here before we go to our next break. The next thing I wanted to do is give you an update on the hurricane. Man, this looks pretty bad if you've seen any of the video from Florida, Hurricane Idalia, powerful storm swamps western Florida. Got a story here from the New York Times. This was just updated 11 minutes ago. It says that the hurricane made landfall just about an hour ago, hour and a half ago, along a sparsely populated area of the state's Gulf Coast, bringing destructive winds and life-threatening storm surges. It says here, Hurricane Idalia moved quickly inland after making landfall along a sparsely populated stretch of Florida's Gulf Coast on Wednesday morning, toppling trees and flooding fishing villages while on a course to menace other parts of the southeast. And by the way, if you've been watching the coverage of this, this hurricane seems to be moving pretty quickly. I think it moves at 15 to 20 miles an hour, which doesn't seem that fast when you think about it. But for a hurricane, evidently it's pretty fast. It was briefly a Category 4 storm overnight. Idalia had weakened to Category 2 by 9 a.m. Eastern time. But with sustained winds of 110 miles per hour, it still presented a grave threat. And the National Hurricane Center warned of catastrophic storm surge. Don't mess with this storm, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida warned in an early morning news conference, telling residents not to put themselves in jeopardy. It's going to be a significant, significant impact, end quote. Storm came ashore at 7:45 a.m. Florida time in Taylor County along the Big Bend coast, about 90 miles southeast of the state capital of Tallahassee, where the lights briefly flickered in the Emergency Operations Center as Mr. DeSantis spoke. I got to watch that a couple hours ago. And while the governor was actually making while he was talking at the podium, the lights went out. And fortunately, there was a generator that kicked in just a few seconds later. I'll get back to the story here. It says Tallahassee was expected to experience hurricane force winds for the first time in decades. And we will continue to monitor this and let you know if there are any new updates and what's going on. Got to take a break right now, 8:47. It's a short break, so stick around. You are tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 73. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 53. Sunny with a high near 79 on your Thursday. For Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 59. Friday, sunny, breezy, and a high near 87. Winds gust to 30 miles per hour. Right now, it's 55.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
She left to marry some top cat, ain't the cool truth. In the hills, there's been a tally since Sally left the alley. Since Kitty left the big pretty things, I got pretty things. Yeah, yeah. It's tight on as fast as the young dudes are muscling in. We'll be right back.
Springsteen on a Wednesday morning, going way back, 1973. It's hard to believe it's been 50 years since that album came out, Kitty's Back. And playing Springsteen right now because it was on this date, August 30th of 1988, that his wife at the time, Julianne Phillips, filed for divorce after newspapers published photos of Springsteen and his backing singer at the time, Patti Sciolfa, showed pictures, evidently published in the newspaper, showed them together. And his wife said, well, that's enough for me. I'm out of here. But she was a model and actress. I'm pretty sure she was in one of his early videos from the early 80s. Julianne Phillips, I'm talking about, his wife, his first wife. And she was, you know, very attractive at the time. I don't know what she looks like today, but... you know, when Springsteen married her, I thought, well, you know, he's going for the model slash actress, but is that really his type of woman? And then when he got together with his backing singer, Patti Sciolfa, I said, well, that makes perfect sense. You know, she doesn't have that same kind of a model actress look from Los Angeles or Hollywood, but she's still a very attractive woman. She's a great singer, and she's a Jersey girl. She was a lot more compatible, I thought, with Springsteen. And, of course, they've been together ever since. Springsteen, yes. Hey, man, it's already time for another break. Is that what you're telling me? Yeah, let's go ahead and go to it. We got 8:57 right now, time for a top-of-the-hour break. Stick around for the news, and then I'll be back for another hour. If you got something you want to contribute, feel free to call in. The number is 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Casino dance with the shirts open like Latin lovers on the shore, chasing all them silly New York virgins by the score.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council. For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.